This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I just had an awkward encounter.
With whom?
Well, I looked outside. It's so dark out right now.
It is.
It's raining pretty good here in downtown Seattle. Not real hard, but fairly hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up my hood. I'm wearing a black hoodie today. So I put up my hood, and I walked outside, and I walked down the sidewalk, and I get to our front steps, and I don't want to go in yet. I just want to stand in the rain for a little bit.
Oh.
So I'm just kind of standing there on the sidewalk, and I'm letting the rain hit my face. And
is that something you would normally do, or just you decided to do that today?
No, when I went to the University of Washington, I had a little umbrella in my backpack, and when there would be hard rain in between classes, I just loved walking around campus, enjoying the beauty
in
the
rain.
Makes
you feel alive.
Exactly! I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
So I'm standing out by the front steps, I'm letting the rain hit my face.
And our
HR director, Marin, walks down the stairs, and I'm wearing sweats and a black hoodie, and I've got the hood up, and I'm just standing there with my back to the steps, and I kind of turn. She goes, "Oh, Dory."
She was about to call security.
And I said, "I just like walking in the rain." And she gave me the strangest look, which, by the way, seems to be the prevailing looks I get from everybody these days. So she gives me a look, and she pulls out her phone and looks at the time. She says, "Aren't you on the air right now?" And I said, "Not this moment. I just like walking in the rain." And she goes, "Did you have to run out to your car for something?" And I said, "Marin, I just like walking in the rain. Is that so weird?"
Well, given you only had like 2 minutes to get back into the studio and you're wandering around with your face, you know, up to the sky, I mean, that would be a little bizarre.
walking in the rain.
No, but it's a little, just for her, out of context, and she's worried about everyone's well-being. So she's thinking, Dory's really lost it. He's just wandering out.
And yes, most people take an umbrella with them.
Why? I don't even own an umbrella anymore. You know what? When I went to the University of Washington, I was a wimp that I had an umbrella. Umbrellas are for wimps.
And women who don't want their hair to get all wet.
Yeah, that's a wimpy thing. Not wanting your hair
to get wet. Oh, no, it's not. It's just necessity.
I'm just going to tell you, we're going to get enough rain this week. You will need your umbrella.
I don't have an umbrella. But I will continue to walk in the rain because I find it to be a pleasurable little escape for a few moments. I don't know why it was so extraordinary a thing.
It's usually, I agree, there's pleasure you can find in walking in the rain, but it usually is in a less stressful time period. When we're in the middle of a show, it doesn't seem like the time you'd go walking in the rain unless you were upset about something.
I can't believe
she could have thought you might have had a crucial conversation and it didn't go well, and now you're just cooling off outside.
I can't believe that you haven't had some Neil Sedaka playing.
Oh. Sorry, Dory.
Yeah.
I'll get that right.
I would have expected that by now. So anyway, that's what I did during the newscast there. I went for a little walk in the rain. And by the way, and what I do when I walk in the rain, it gives me time to think, which is always productive, as you know.
Oh, yes.
So what Jay Inslee yesterday said, thank you. About 4 minutes.
We're going back to Inslee right now?
Yeah, because, hold on. Here, turn it up.
Strolling along country roads with my baby. It starts to rain, it begins to fall.
Come on!
Without an umbrella, we're soaked to the skin.
Without an umbrella! I didn't even remember that was the lyrics.
Man, we had a lot of good stories in this segment.
I'll get to some of them. Okay, so anyway, yesterday Jay Inslee announced, I should save this for Big Lita too, because Nicole wants me to get to so many of these Fastest 15 stories.
You should tease it right here. Get them
okay,
to come
back. Okay, doggone it. I'm writing this down, so I don't forget. Don't let me forget my, hold on.
What about
all the poor people who are listening now who have a meeting at 2 o'clock and they're not going to hear it?
Podcast.
Okay, hold on. Rain / Inslee revelation. Okay, that'll be my lead for the big lead attempt.
Yes, because I'm looking forward to it.
It was like a thunderstorm in my brain. So I'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, wait. Snow. Thank you. Snowpack. Okay. I got to make sure I write down all the things I thought about because I could forget them in an hour. Okay, let's get to some of these stories in the fastest 15 here. This one's just kind of fun. I kind of like this. Did you see the newspaper correction for the Julia Roberts story?
Yes.
So
how?
I think
in
that
this day and age, a New York newspaper, huge headline. They have a big picture of Julia Roberts, who's still just lovely as can be. And the headline reads, Julia Roberts finds life and her holes get better with age. And that just had everyone confused. And the next day they ran a little correction. A headline on page D4 in Saturday's paper should have read, Julia Roberts finds life and her rolls get better with age. So her holes are not necessarily, but the rolls that she gets offered are.
You don't think they're trying to sell more newspapers?
No.
It's a struggling biz.
Nobody's not going to sell a paper. Okay, then I got to self edit.
How do you miss that? I just don't.
Well, because spell check, holes is a word.
But people don't look at the newspaper
because they don't have editors anymore. Newspapers, there used to be all these layers of editors.
Yes.
And they don't exist anymore with all the cost cutting.
Yeah, it could be a one person shop, and then you just miss it.
Okay, the story that has just gotten so annoyingly overplayed, a couple of them. One, we told you last week that we're supposed to hate Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the special, because he gets bullied throughout, especially when the other reindeer see his ridiculous red nose. Well, scientists have just informed us that Rudolph could not have led Santa's sleigh because reindeer are colorblind and they would not be able to see the light from his crimson snout. And not only that, the other reindeer would not have made fun of him.
Okay, wait. If kids are listening, kids, don't even listen to this because...
Well, there's called magic.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that the other reindeer would not have ridiculed him for his red nose because they're colorblind.
Right.
Did you know that? Did you know reindeer were colorblind?
The non-magical reindeer.
Did you know that?
No.
Okay, no. Okay, so we all just learned something here. And the other...
So that makes Rudolph even more special, that he could do all that while not being able to see color.
Well, I think all of Santa's reindeer can see color because they're magic.
The other story that's gotten so much play is over the song Baby It's Cold Outside, the Dean Martin huge hit. And Dean Martin's daughter, Dina, I don't know how they came up with that name, Dina Martin is speaking out, and she says she's furious at hearing the controversy over her dad's big hit.
I was absolutely flabbergasted. It's just insane. When I heard it, and I said, this can't possibly be. You know, it's a sweet, flirty, fun holiday song that, well, it's been around for 50 years for my dad. You know, he did it in 59. But when I saw it, I tweeted, I think this is crazy. What do you think? And then all of a sudden it went viral.
And she says that her dad would be incredibly disappointed to hear that knuckleheads in 2018 were making this into such a controversy.
It's flirting, it's sexy, it's sweet, there's nothing bad about that song, and it just breaks my heart. And I know my dad would be going insane right now.
What would he say?
He would say, what's the matter with you? You know, get over it. It's just a fun song, because he was so sweet anyways.
But PC culture has to ruin everything.
This PC, you know, is driving me nuts. We've got to, you know, sit back and relax and have a good time. You know, it's okay. People have to have a sense of humor about themselves. And, you know, and I'm into, you know, I understand the Me Too movement and everything. I'm all for that. But this, we've got to relax and...
Have fun again.
Have fun again.
So there you go. The Martin family responds. Next up in the fastest 15. Boy, I tell you, one family that really knows how to make a lot of money without doing a second of work. And that's Al Sharpton's family. Last week we told you, Al Sharpton, he sold his life story for $561,000 to a charity that was founded by Al Sharpton. So this scam artist has spent years and years and years raising money supposedly for this charity, and then the charity turns around and pays himself $561,000 for his life story. So that was last week's story. Now we just found out today, Al Sharpton's daughter just got $95,000 from New York City taxpayers. She was walking in high heels on a Manhattan street, and she sprained her ankle. So she filed a lawsuit against the city, and even though weeks after her sprained ankle, she had pictures of herself on social media climbing mountains and wearing high heels while climbing a ladder, she still was able to get a $95,000 settlement from New York City taxpayers for a sprained ankle. She sued the city for $5 million, saying her severely injured ankle was life-changing. So that's, I tell you what, that is a way to make a lot of money. They have figured out the family biz. Oh, and one other question about Dad, Al Sharpton. Murder. Another word for murder is homicide. And somebody noticed that Al Sharpton has a strange way of saying homicide.
Her mission now, help law enforcement focus less on nonviolent crimes and more on violent crimes and solving homicides.
And if someone put together a little, he apparently pronounced it H-O-M-O-C-I-D, which I guess would make sense since it's Homo sapiens who are getting killed in these murders. But that doesn't come close to the all-time best.
Tonight is the measure of whether the country begins in the state of Wisconsin a national drive to push back, or whether we have more to go to build a movement of resistance. But resist we much. We must and we will much about that be committed.
It's the best. It's the best ever. Oh, by the way, speaking of the best sound bites ever, we're down to the quarterfinals in Monson Madness. And do you agree with the listeners' final eight so far?
I think I do. There's a couple we lost early on that I was a little sad about, but this list is pretty good.
Last year, I was kind of upset that a couple of great sound bites got knocked out in the early rounds.
Mm-hmm.
I think the listeners have done a fantastic
job.
They've
nailed it.
This year, yeah. So I think all the one seeds have survived into the quarterfinals. We'll play some of those for you a little bit later. In fact, I'll play a couple for Dave Wyman since he's involved in one of them. Okay, next up in the fastest 15. So do you see the big drama on the Today Show this morning?
Yeah, well, I heard about it.
Yeah.
And I've said something on one of my newscasts about it.
Yeah, Kathy Lee Gifford. And here's the thing. I'm like the last person in the world who can make fun of something like this, because she announced that she's going to be quitting the show.
And she got very emotional.
She got very emotional, and I've mentioned...
Not as emotional as Hoda, though. Hoda got real emotional. Kathy Lee was trying
Hoda.
To keep it light, and she was trying to laugh, and it was cute.
But I've said, I know that my last day, and today wasn't her last day, today was just her announcement, but I know that on my last day, I'm going to be a basket case.
Yeah.
An absolute basket. Will you guys cry the way Hoda did?
Probably.
On my last day?
Yep.
Okay. So here's a little bit. Hoda got emotional talking. Kathy was trying to make her laugh.
You know, you're just so special, Hoda. Thank you. Thank you so much.
The minute you stepped into my life with both feet, everything changed. I thought about it. I knew today was happening, but Anyway, I was scribbling in my journal about you, and I was like, thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
But you might just want to leave it there, Jared. It's going to be that kind of day. Nobody else needs it, I see.
That's why there's a part of me. I know how uncomfortable it's going to be for listeners. And there is a part of me that wants to get fired after a show on a Friday, and they just say, clean out your desk. And I don't get a chance to do that.
Well, first of
don't
all,
give them any ideas.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's not going to happen. But secondly, what's wrong with showing our emotions? And what's wrong whether it's, you know, crying or anger?
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong.
You're getting teary right now.
No, don't get. No, that's the raindrops from the top. Yeah.
Just thinking about it's making you.
But
she did go on to say that she wouldn't have met her husband, she wouldn't have her partner, and then they wouldn't have had a baby and the whole thing changed her life.
They truly have a really strong friendship, and it's one of those friendships where, you know, they share a stage or they share, you know, a show, and they try to lift each other up.
Right.
It's a show where they genuinely love each other.
Well, and what they talked about, and this is what we talk about all the time, is that I just implicitly, completely, 100% trust you guys. And I try to always live in a way so that that can be reciprocated honestly. And that's what they were talking about today.
So I went to your house, and I remember Frank said to me, I've been in television for a while, and I want to tell you something. He said, the only way a show works is if you trust that someone's going to catch you. And he said, I don't know about you. Because I don't know you, he said, but I know that you are about to work with the most trustworthy person on earth. Mm-hmm. And he was right, because our show is about catching each other when you fall down. Like, that's it.
Which is daily for us.
Hourly. But it's true. And I think if anyone who's worked with someone knows that feeling, like sometimes...
We had each other's back.
Yeah.
So I just heard everybody goofing on this today, but I thought, no, I'll be a million times worse than them.
But let's just
whatever that day comes.
Rest assured, it's not going to be anytime soon.
We'll see about that. All right, that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Dave Wyman is going to drop by for his usual Tuesday visit, and we'll talk about last night's Seahawks game. But also, how about Steph Curry saying the world is flat? And there's an uproar over that now.
Wait, that's not what he said.
No, that's the world's flat. See, that's the trust thing right there. So what did Steph say?
He said that there was no moon landing.
Oh, yeah, that the moon landing was fake. Who knows? The other athlete a month ago, they were comparing it to the guy a month ago who said the world was flat. That created an uproar. I'm going to go walk in the rain some more. Wyman's next.
Nice job.
Dave Wyman's on a 2-week winning streak, and he just took a 1-0 lead by a half second.
I'm pretty convinced that the only reason you have me in here is for this competition.
Yeah.
It's the only reason. If you could do it the entire half an hour, you would do it.
Absolutely.
If your ratings didn't plummet.
It's a hit. It's a big hit.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, this half hour.
Not so sure.
And you only are here one day a week, but this half hour, Dave, through the roof. The 1:30 to 2 o'clock half hour on our show, don't even get me started.
That is a fabrication.
No, it's not. The folks at Arbitron have told me that I might have to disinvite you because we're about to break the system.
He's looking to me to confirm, and I'm confirming.
Ursula?
This is a good quarter hour.
Okay. Well, I was just kind of hoping that the Name That Tune thing went away. But
well, I even suggested that a couple weeks ago, and then you went on your long winning streak, and now I'm back energized about the whole thing. It was just too easy for a while, but now look at you.
We could just do a whole show, 3 hours, Name That Tune.
You know, I would do that.
Technically, this is Name That Artist. Maybe we should start doing Name That Tune instead, right?
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Blue
How
Christmas.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
That was really cool. A fun game last night.
That was great. Yeah. And, you know, they really needed that. That was something that, you know, I thought in order for them to be taken seriously going into the playoffs and to establish themselves as kind of this, there's a lot of mediocre teams in the NFL right now. I think I counted 10 or 11, 6-7 or 7-6 teams.
Right.
So, you know, they were 7-5, right? So now 8-5.
Correct.
And they, I think they've established themselves as a force in the playoffs.
Well, I do too. And, you know, right now it looks like it'd be the Dallas Cowboys in the first round in Dallas. And that just, it would be tough. It'd be a really tough game. But it certainly isn't an overwhelming matchup for the Seahawks.
Yeah, and that's a thing that they've kind of, some of the mistakes that were made, I thought, you know, we do this thing every week, roses and thorns, where we give a rose to the best player and a thorn to, you know, the player that maybe didn't do so well. Shaquille Griffin totally redeemed himself, I thought, last night.
He did a good game.
He did a really good job tackling. He was good on coverage. Those two receivers that they had 98 and 84 receptions, held them in check, so held Kirk Cousins in check. So really good job by the defense. And then my favorite part, and I went back and watched it, was George Fant catching that pass.
the big man.
Stumbling.
I don't. Yeah, he was so funny after the game, too, because he said that he was sure that if he hadn't tripped, he would have taken it to the house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had him on our show, Paul Moyer and I, on Hawks Live on Thursday. He brought his wife. Her name is Chastity, and she was a player of the year in basketball at Western Kentucky in the USA Conference USA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so George may not be the best basketball player in his house.
Yeah,
two beautiful little boys, and just an awesome story of switching a sport, and then, you know, he goes to tackle, and then he gets hurt. And I thought, oh, man, I don't know. You know, he's overcoming a lot of adversity, and now he's out there playing tight end, and he's probably getting 25 on average. The last eight games, probably 25 to 30 snaps a game.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's just been fun to watch. So now here you go after this big win last night.
Second and 10, Cousins takes the shotgun snap. Being chased, gets hit by Martin. The ball comes out, rolling around. It's picked up by the Seahawks. Coming near side, it's Coleman. 20, 15, 10, 5. He is in. Justin Coleman is in. The Seahawks are blowing it open.
And that was the thing, is, you know, it's just a defensive struggle, and then all of a sudden, it's like they broke the will of their opponent. And I probably shouldn't admit this so much. I love that feeling in sports when you're battling somebody and you see the moment when you have broken their spirit and broken their will, and kind of collectively their shoulders drop and their head starts to hang a little bit. And, oh, it's fun to break the will of somebody.
Yeah. I've also said it's good to feel another man crumble beneath you. You take their heart away.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. And I really enjoyed that last night. That was a really good performance. And, you know, Frank Clark and Jaron Reed, I mean, those two guys have become such leaders on that defensive line. And those guys, Frank Clark, he plays 100% on every play. So,
did you hear about the little Twitter controversy that your colleague Brock Huard was involved in?
No.
After the game? So Brock just put out a tweet that said, oh, shoot, I need the Nicole chain because she's the one who sent it to me. Here we go. Okay, so Brock after the game said, hey, NFL, just so you know, Pete Carroll and his crew know how to coach and develop. While the past defensive stars and Pro Bowlers thought it was all about them and wanted the money and credit, the secret sauce is Pete's program and culture. And Michael Bennett apparently had his feelings hurt.
Uh-oh.
And he replied to Brock, I wish you weren't so negative.
That was all he had?
Yeah. Yeah.
Look who's talking.
Yeah. So apparently Brock broke his will last night with his tweet.
He felt him crumble beneath him via the Twitter.
So, but it's all true, though.
It's exactly right. Brock nailed it on that one. And that's the thing, you know, you get those guys never got over that Super Bowl loss. They never got over that, and I felt like the bitterness just ate them up, and they needed to just let that go. And Richard Sherman and Michael Bennett, and there was just too much complaining, you know, some of the hijinks with Earl Thomas. And, you know, yeah, this is so redeeming for Pete as well, because he's a great coach, and he was given a lot of criticism on the way out by those players. You can understand why they're hurt, but they got traded and cut, but man, and they wouldn't pay Earl. But it's absolutely true that, you know, John Schneider goes out, finds him and his staff. They find the right players.
Yeah.
Pete plugs them in, coaches them up, and it's fantastic. And the other thing about Pete, he assembles a really good group of coaches.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's been so much fun, and they are on their way to the playoffs. 99.6% chance now of making the playoffs. All right, Dave Wyman is here. I got a lot of other things I need to talk to Dave about, including Bing Crosby.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Nice job.
We're tied at one. The quarterfinals.
Oh, you know what else about Bing? He says white.
Does he?
White Christmas.
No wonder I like him so much. So we will continue our conversation with Dave Wyman. We have the quarterfinals of Monson Madness for your voting, and Dave has made the Elite Eight for the second time in his career. So we'll take a listen to that and much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
Sleigh bells in the snow. A merry little Christmas.
Dean Martin.
Let your heart.
Perry Como.
No, the other one.
One more Christmas singer left.
Dang it. You know what this means? The last song is going to decide everything today because we're tied at one.
Comes down to one.
I can't believe you're not getting
it. I can't either. This is going to annoy me.
It's a Sinatra.
Oh, jeez. Love of all that's good and holy. What's the matter with us?
It's terrible.
What's wrong with us? We should just stop the game forever.
If you had to have one Christmas carol singer,
mm-hmm.
who would you take?
Dean Martin.
Dean
without
Martin?
Question.
Not Elvis?
No.
I like Elvis.
No. The greatest Christmas album ever is Dean Martin's.
Dory doesn't like Elvis.
You are.
That
is incorrect.
Argue over that.
That is false.
So, let's see. I promised this. Steph Curry is under fire today because he said this. He was doing a podcast, and there's a headline on Drudge that talked about an NBA star is under fire. So, here's what's gotten Steph Curry under fire.
How do they know what sound dinosaurs right. made?
Somebody could actually like transcribe what the sound like, and they just on a cable walk, somewhere like
you I can't tell because we don't know.
I have to a bone don't tell you what the sound is, right?
Right.
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
They gonna come get us. I don't think so. I'm conspiracy. Sorry, I'm starting conspiracy.
They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Stanley, you got to do research on Stanley Kubrick.
Big back then.
Bro, you talking about we took something to the moon? I don't think so.
So he just he thinks the moon landing was faked.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand a word of that. What happened?
He doesn't think we know what dinosaurs really sound like, mm-hmm. and he doesn't think we went to the moon.
Well, I'm okay with the he doesn't know what dinosaurs sound like. Maybe they hiss like cats.
Maybe
they meow. You don't know that.
The moon thing. Before.
Come on with the moon thing.
But who cares? If he doesn't think that, or if he thinks that we never went and it's faked, who cares?
No.
Why would he be under fire for that? If somebody wants to have a moronic opinion, let them.
Yeah. Did you hear your roommate, Nicole Jessamine, said
yeah.
Luke Wilson has come around on the moon landing thing.
Oh.
Because he met one of the astronauts, I think, that went
and
on the moon.
Current astronauts are asking him to come meet with them. Steph Curry.
Yeah, NASA people are very upset that Steph Curry is questioning the moon landing.
He's just messing around. Come on.
There's a video you can watch that says like this: the moon landing did not happen. And there's one that says it did. And you're supposed to like watch them back to back and realize how biases work.
Let him believe what he wants to believe.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Okay, I need listeners to go vote because we're down to the Elite Eight in Monson Madness, the final eight sound bites. Dave Wyman, a previous winner of Monson Madness. That was when we first met.
Yeah, it was 2007, I think.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So you have made the Elite Eight. You're the only person who's made the Elite Eight twice now. How about that?
I'm not sure if that's good or not.
No, that's good. It's really good.
You're a funny guy, Dave.
So here's who you're up against in the quarterfinals, Dave. A little kid, he put a fake cockroach near his barber, and the barber jumped and got scared by it. And the barber said, I'm going to get you back. And the barber's friends with the kid's parents. So the barber said, hey, would it be okay if I pretend to cut off his ear? And he had a fake ear and dropped it on the floor. Oh, and, of course, they recorded the whole thing. So this is in the Elite Eight of Monson Madness, best soundbite of 2018.
Oh, dude. Oh, my. Oh, my God.
Is that my ear?
Yeah.
No. It is. No. No.
Yeah. Hey, Mom.
Yeah. Get over here now. Now.
I think we can probably just, like, glue it back on.
Look at my ear.
We have a problem.
It's on the ground. It's not funny.
We got another one. What's the big deal?
Oh, how'd that happen?
Huh?
How'd that happen?
He moved. Sir. Hey, do you remember that roach prank where you said I couldn't make you cry?
Yes.
You got me.
Kid, his first reaction is, well, I didn't cry. So,
that's a tough kid.
Yeah. So that's in the Elite Eight, but it has to beat Dave Wyman. When we were in London, Dave and Paul Moyer had gone to the pub. And then
you could have left that part out.
I think it's going to be a pretty apparent here. And then you came back to do my show, which was 8 to 11 p.m. London time. And we had been talking about how I spilled.
All right, I was off the clock then.
Exactly. There's no shame.
Okay.
And we had talked about how I'd inadvertently spilled a couple of drinks in Paul Moyer's lap.
Oh, just accidentally spilled a couple of drinks.
On the flight over. So this is a one seed and an Elite Eight entrant.
I think they're handling it better than the Raiders. What do I base this on? The owner of the Raiders' haircut.
Yeah.
He's a jackass.
It's a bull.
Yes.
It's a bull.
He, and I hear that he pays a lot of money for that. Mm-hmm. And when I look at that guy's hair, I go, he's a clown. Mm-hmm. And so therefore.
No, you're right. I should have left out the pub part so nobody would know.
Sure.
Seahawk. Talking awfully slow there.
Oh, yeah, that one. Oh, no. Same again. Myself. I know the words anymore.
Oh, for crying out. Eric Carmen.
Nice job, Dory.
You're in playing in London.
You know what? Kudos to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
You can spill a drink in my lap anytime.
No, no, you can't.
You guys can go back to the pub now. Your work is done here. Thanks for coming by. I really appreciate it.
You can ice my crotch anytime, Dory.
And that has made it.
I hope that loses and goes away forever.
George Michael?
Really, it's Wham.
Wham?
Yeah.
Oh, nice job. I'm giving it to you.
Okay. I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Nice All right. Job. Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon, 3 to 7, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming by.
All right.
The Big Lead of 2 is next.